Welcome, everybody. This morning we're going to look a little bit deeper into the Lord's response to the Jews who came to him and wanted to clarify what it was that he was doing healing on the Sabbath. And of course we've seen that the Jews represent the natural aspect within ourselves that's tied to our sense of self that is bound up in the proprium, or what is actually opposed to the things of God. And so it is that the Jews firstly accuse this man or seek to condemn him for carrying his cot on the Sabbath, carrying his bed on the Sabbath. If you recall, the Lord told the man to pick up his bed and walk. And subsequent to that, they asked him who it was that had healed him, because he didn't know. And when he did find out, he went back to the Jews and he said to them that it was Jesus, of course, that had healed him. And we come into this part of the story today where the Jews confront Jesus, and in response to his response to them, they all the more seek to kill him. In fact, in the Greek it says they lusted to kill him because he loosed the Sabbath, or he broke the Sabbath. And not only that, in his statement, he made himself equal with God. So today we're going to be considering this idea of Father and Son in the Word, and what these two words or two terms represent when they're used in connection with the Lord. And as we do that, so this very scripture begins to open up for us some very important teaching regarding the oneness of God. Let us pray. So our reading is from the Gospel of John, and it's chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." Now, reading from the Heavenly Doctrines this morning, first reading is from the Apocalypse Explained, 8:15. Saving faith is to believe in the Lord, and to believe in Him is also to believe in the Father, because He and the Father are one. To believe in the Lord signifies not only to adore and worship Him, but also to live from Him. And one lives from him when he lives according to the word which is from him. Therefore, to believe in him is to believe that he regenerates man and gives eternal life to those who are regenerated by him. And a reading from the Arcana Celestia, 3704. The Lord's divine is distinguished into divine good and divine truth. The Lord's divine good being called the Father, and his divine truth the Son. Yet the Lord's divine is nothing else than good. Indeed, it is good itself. But divine truth is the Lord's divine good as it presents itself visually in heaven. So essentially, the Lord is nothing else than divine good, and this applies to both essentials, to the divine itself and to the divine human. Divine truth, however, does not exist within divine good, but flows from it, for as stated above, divine truth is the divine good presenting itself visually in heaven. Now, because divine good presents itself as divine truth, therefore the Lord's divine is distinguished to enable man to grasp it mentally into divine good and divine truth. Divine good being called in the Word the Father, and divine truth the Son. This is the arcanum that lies behind the Lord himself on so many occasions, speaking of his Father as though he were separate from, and so to speak, one other than himself, and yet at other times speaking of his being one with himself. The Father is used here, as has been stated, to mean the divine good, and the Son the divine truth, both being within the Lord. From divine good, which is the Father, nothing but what is divine is able to proceed or come forth, and that which proceeds or comes forth is divine truth, which is the Son. So the events surrounding the healing of the men at the pool of Bethesda leads us into a block of teaching, of profound teaching concerning the Word. Now we should all be able to see now that by the term the Jews, we are to understand that which is within us that resists the operation of the Lord's love. That is, that which stands against the Lord's truth. So what the spiritual sense of the Word teaches is at odds with how the natural man understands it. For the natural man believes only what is apparent to his senses. And in regard to the Word, he perceives only that which belongs to the external letter, to the literal sense. So the Lord, in his infinite mercy, has provided humankind with the heavenly doctrines. And these point to what lies within the literal sense of the Word. They point to the spiritual sense that exists within the letter. And when we begin to see this, and we begin to take what the doctrines offer us as the means for understanding the Word, then the mind is given a new foundation for beginning to walk in a new way. Now, to the spiritual man, the Word says, take up your doctrine and live from it. Take up your doctrine and live from it. Now, the natural man hears this as, take up your bed and walk. So that phrase spiritually means that we are to take up what we rest in and we are to walk or live from it. So we take our doctrine and we live from it. That's the purpose of it. You see, having access to truths is one thing, but acknowledging them in life is another thing altogether. And all who wish to be spiritual must live from their understanding of truth. They must apply it to their lives. For there is no life that is spiritual life without the elevation of truths to their rightful place within the human mind. The Word is divine truth right down to its very letter. And so it must be much more than that which just presents in the literal sense. Now the Word is the Lord's divine human, through and by means of which every person who is being regenerated is saved. Now the natural man recoils at such a suggestion. Can ideas in the pages of a book save a person? Well, if they are just regarded as nothing more than that, then the book remains closed. But if we would consider for a moment that by the living Word becoming flesh and dwelling in our midst in the form of a natural human being, we have had the divine truth represented to the lowest level of human perception, and that through that divine intervention into human consciousness, the human race had restored to it the idea of the Lord as a divine man. Now, at first, this was understood only in terms of the historical person, Jesus Christ. But with the understanding of these events, given through the heavenly doctrines, we can be brought to see that everything surrounding the Lord's life and ministry in the world, embodied on the lowest plane of human perception, a representation of how the Word or the divine truth operates within your mind. This incarnation did not end with the person of Jesus Christ on earth. This was its beginning. For the divine love is now fully present with us in the truths of the Word itself. And once this is seen, a person is able to perceive that the Lord is the Word and that this is the divine in human form. The natural man cannot see this, and he regards it as a kind of blasphemy that flies in the face of natural reason. So be it. Truths stand firm regardless of the natural man's response or lack of affirmative response. The Jews said, "It is not lawful to lift up one's cot on the Sabbath." This describes the unbelief that issues forth from natural reasoning in regard to the Word. The inert rigidity of natural thought in regard to spiritual things is such that it thinks it has attained the reality when all it really has is the husk. It places so much of its confidence in external elements of religion that when its reliance on these elements is challenged or questioned by what is truly spiritual, it reacts defensively by going on the attack. And in doing so, it hopes to undermine or kill off any impact a spiritual understanding of truths may have on the false security that the ego or proprium creates for itself. While human beings are in need of regeneration, the Lord works. He never rests. For how can love rest when a human being lies bound in the shackles of their own selfishness? No, never. The Lord is emphatic. He never rests. Scripture says today, "My Father works until now, and I work." Such is the nature of the divine love. From the prophet Isaiah we read, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Jehovah, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he is not faint, nor does he grow weary. There is no searching his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to him with no vigor he increases might. Even youths are faint and fatigued, and young men stumbling shall stumble. But the ones waiting for Jehovah shall renew power. They shall go up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. Jesus said, "My Father works until now, and I work." When we read this as people speaking, we need to loosen ourselves from that idea of person. Because these words, "My Father works until now, and I work," that statement is what the whole word teaches. So that when Jesus is speaking in the Gospels, those words correspond to, they represent what the word teaches, because he is the Word. And so it is the Word itself that teaches that the Lord never rests, that while there is work to be done in your heart, in my heart, in our lives, the Lord continues to work for our salvation. When dealing with people speaking in the Word, when we read, hear what the Jews have to say, we are given teaching as to the general sphere of thought that flows from the human proprium into our mind. So those words that the Jews bring to Jesus is the spirit of what rises up from our proprium and fills our mind with unbelief and doubt and thoughts that stand opposed to the divine truth. And similarly, when we read of the Lord speaking, this is what the Word has to say within the human mind as it rises up within and points the way as it enlightens us and shows us how to walk. So when we read this, we are not to think of people speaking, for this is to think naturally about the Word. Think of these people and their speech as the thoughts that different qualities of affections within our own minds give rise to. And if we do that, we'll begin to see their inner application. My Father works until now, and I work. What was it about these words that inflamed the Jews? Their response show how this was heard by them. And in verse 18 we read, "Because of this, therefore the Jews lusted all the more to kill him. For not only did he break the Sabbath, but also he called God his own Father, making himself equal to God." And this response teaches us how difficult it is for the natural man to accept that the Word is not just divine, but that it is the divine with us. So let's look at this dialogue between Jesus and the Jews from an inner spiritual perspective. So dropping this idea of person that's associated with the words, "My Father works until now, and I work." Spiritual Christianity teaches that the term Father, when used to refer to God, means the divine love, the divine good. The phrase "works until now" needs to be understood without reference to time, because ideas of time are natural ideas. The spiritual idea is perpetual. It's continual. It is the eternal now. The Father never rests. The Lord never rests and never will rest. So when we apply this to the words, we have the divine love, that is the Father, never ceases from its activity, or it works continuously for the salvation of the human race. This is the spiritual meaning behind these words, and it's what the whole word teaches us. Now in this work, the divine love needs the means by which its presence can be received into the minds of people. If the divine love can't be grasped by us so that we can be brought into an awareness of it, then it can't fulfill its purposes. And so we ask a question: what makes us aware of the Lord's love? What makes us aware of divine love and how it operates? Well, it's the divine truth. Divine truth teaches us about divine love. So for love to work, it needs wisdom. For by means of wisdom, truths are accommodated to the level of our understanding, the level we can grasp the divine love at. And so as truths are accommodated to our understanding in the Word, so we can be brought into contact with the Lord at the level we are at. This is wisdom at work. It is wisdom presenting the divine love at a level we can be brought into contact with it. Now the reference to the wisdom that love needs is made in this simple statement. It's in the second part of the statement. And I work. My Father works until now. That's the divine love. And I work. That's the divine wisdom or the divine truth. Because the word I, when read from a spiritual perspective, it doesn't refer to the Lord as a person speaking here. It refers to the Lord as the Word. It is the Word that works in us. Because the Word is the divine truth. So I, the word I, is a term of consciousness or self-reference. You can only use the word I if we have a sense of ourselves as something separate from someone else or something else. So it's a word describing existing. Now the phrasing in the Greek is I am working. And it's deliberate. The Lord Himself is the only being that is self-existing. In the Old Testament, the Lord gave His name to Moses. That name was I Am, meaning being, self-existing one. I am that I am is who sent Moses to the people of Israel. And so here the term is used. I am working. It's a reference to the divine being itself and its operation within us. The Lord Himself is the only being that is self-existing, and as such is the only one who can truly use the term I, and is certainly the only one to whom the phrase I am can ever be applied. He is the only one who possesses a true self, and so is the only one who is truly conscious. So what we see then is that the word references itself in the phrase, and I am working. If the divine love never ceases from seeking the fulfillment of its purposes, then neither does the divine wisdom, for neither can exist without the other. The divine wisdom contains the divine love and gives it expression. And that love is expressed to us or for us through the Word, which is the sacred scriptures found in the Bible. What we are saying here, or what we are being shown here is another take on John's opening declaration that God is the Word. The natural man can't receive this, and everything in the natural mind on hearing it rises up in opposition to shield itself from the implications of it. We read of this in verse 18 where it says, "The Jews, who represent our proprium, the native will, the fallen will, lusted all the more to kill him." The divine truth. Lusted all the more. Now this is the response of the corrupt will of the natural mind when it is faced with truth concerning itself. And when we reflect on our lives, we don't have to go too far to find examples of this operating within us. Whenever we are faced with something we are in denial about, we look to minimize its impact so we don't have to face the truth that it's showing us. The native will's natural response is to kill off that which brings up for us what we feel is too painful to face. The natural man in us uses religion, external religion, to protect itself from having to actually do the work, the inner work, of having to confront negative inner states of life. And so it creates for itself a false sense of spirituality in its adherence to external religious activities. The gospel shows us that the Word is continually exposing this tendency in us to conceal our evils through deriving a sense of self-merit from external religious activity separated from inner spiritual work. It exposes our proprium for what it is. The Word reveals our selfish tendencies. It brings us face to face with ourselves when we are disconnected from the Lord as the Word. But the teaching here is clear. If we want to be connected to the Lord, then we have to be engaged with the Word. And to be engaged with the Word, we have to be reading it. We have to be looking to live from it in accordance with our understanding of the heavenly doctrines. To further drive this point home that God is the Word, we are offered the following statement in verses 19 to 20. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly, truly, I am saying to you, the Son is not able to do anything from himself except what he may see the Father doing. For whatever that one does, these things also the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things which he does, and he will show him greater works than these in order that you may marvel." Again, if we think of this statement as the Word speaking to us, it affirms the truth on which spiritual Christianity is founded. That the divine love and the divine wisdom are one, and that these are presented to human consciousness in the Word, or the Lord's divine human, and that this is what is meant by the name Jesus Christ. The Word speaks of the Lord's desire for our salvation. This is what the name Jesus means. The name Jesus, wherever you see it in the Gospels, represents the operation of the Lord's desire for our salvation, because his name means Jehovah Saviour. And what does the Word say? "Truly, truly, I am saying to you." These words state that the Word is the I Am. For the Word is the divine truth, and the divine truth is the divine wisdom, and the divine wisdom alone is able to communicate and present the divine love to human comprehension. The divine wisdom is called the Son, for it is of the divine love. It is born of the divine love, which is called the Father. Wisdom does only what love seeks to accomplish. And so we read that the Son, or wisdom, is not able to do anything from himself except what he may see the Father doing, or that which the divine love seeks to achieve. In the literal sense of the story, we see the Jews unable to accept the implication of what Jesus was saying. The Jews in us, our natural reasoning processes, also struggle to see that the sacred scriptures and the Lord are one. Everything in the Word points to this spiritual reality. May each of us come to see more fully that wisdom that brings love into view, that this is the Son, and that that love that is brought into contact with us is indeed the Father, but it can only come via the Son, via the Word, which is the Saviour and Redeemer of us all. Amen.